哎呀，呢轮真的系风湿骨痛，好辛苦啊！
奶奶，我啱啱买咗一个最新科技嘅太空小灵晶，可以迅速舒缓任何痛症噶，咁就唔怕风湿骨痛啦。
哇，咁好噶，咁啊买多个分享下俾阿姨婆啦。
太空小灵晶可以喺六创意健康店买到，电话2882-4848，网址系www.healthshop.com.hk。
以下节目内容纯属主持及嘉宾个人意见，与本台立场无关。
Good afternoon from Hong Kong. Today, we welcome a very celebrated guest, a world-class teacher in our midst. Once again, it is presented by Brahma Kumaris. Well, Charlie Hawks. We are here today to learn from the wisdom of the director of Brahma Kumaris in Australia. Charlie, we welcome you with our snacks. These are all raw. We are the first and only totally raw vegan restaurant in Hong Kong. And the cakes and the snacks are all raw. Well, I hope you will like it. And all these flowers from my garden, and they are perfectly edible. I hope you like it. Well, we have a choice between a lemon cheesecake and a chocolate one. Charlie, not many of us know everything about the Brahma Kumaris. Now, can you tell us about your center? If I describe the Brahma Kumaris as a worldwide movement promoting peace and well-being and healthy relationships, am I correct?
Yes, Simon, you are correct. And I'd first just like to say it's really lovely to be here, and there's a lovely atmosphere here, and I can feel it has lovely vibrations in the cafe, spiritual vibrations. maybe I can tell you a little bit about the Brahma Kumaris worldwide, and then a little bit about Hong Kong as well. It's an organization that began about 80 years ago in India, and right from its outset, it's actually been led really by women. And once, it's a non-government member of the United Nations, and once I was in New York at the United Nations and I met one of the Undersecretary Generals, who actually told me it's in fact the world's biggest organization, spiritual, that is administered by women in all denominations. So in that way, it's quite unique. And secondly, I think people of all religious or non-religious backgrounds are welcome. And in fact, in the Brahma Kumaris community, there are Buddhists and Hindus and Muslims and Christians and Parsis and, you know, atheists and everybody. Everyone is welcome. And I think it began in a very small way in India. It now is present in about 140 countries of the world. And I think we just offer what I would say is a very gentle spirituality for these times, because as we see, the human mind is overtaken with anxiety and fear and depression. And we just offer simple tools to learn about who you are. If you feel comfortable, have a relationship with the divine, and understand really, you know, how to maintain a positive state of mind with all the challenging circumstances in families, in workplaces, in the world, because everyone is faced with all of those sort of things these days. And we just offer a very simple introductory course which can be done in learning how to meditate, which can be done in Hong Kong and Kowloon and Tungshung. So there's three places here. That's a little snapshot of the Brahma Kumaris.
Well, from the outside, our impression is, starting with the name BK, My understanding is Kumaris means sisters, daughters, daughters, and Brahma is the god, daughters of God. And so it's a women-led institution. And from outside, we think that you do only one single thing and nothing else, and that is sitting down and meditate and meditate and meditate. And you meditate in a very simple way, just focus on one spot of light. I'm not too far wrong then.
Well, we have a philosophy that when we change, the world will change. There's so many people running around the world doing wonderful, you know, with a very good intent to make this world a better place. Because I think there's a lot of anxiety in the world that we can see it going down fairly fast. But with all the good intentions, the world is not really improving. And we feel unless human nature changes, unless we learn about who we are, nothing is going to change, because all the seeds, it's like war, the seed is the anger in the mind of everybody. All the materialism is the greed in the mind of everybody. And if we start to work on the individual, but in saying that, I'd say the Brahma Kumaris are incredibly active in the community. We do a lot for
hospitals.
We do at universities for men and women and children and the environment. We have a huge, we're present at all the climate change conferences. We have one of the biggest solar farms in the world, actually, at our headquarters, which is now functioning well.
Last time, when I visited it 2 years ago, last time when I visited that farm, it was just about to open. I suppose it's running perfectly.
You know, they have 770 three-story solar mirrors, and it provides all the power for all the facilities up the mountain, for the main headquarters at the bottom of the mountain, which is actually houses 30,000 people, and for the whole township, which is like 100,000 people. So it's an incredibly, it's a really wonderful facility, and I think it's very new because it has the latest German technology that stores power, because often solar power, if it's not used immediately, they couldn't store it. But they have new technology which can actually store the power overnight.
Certainly most impressive.
Then we offer them how to, the power of a positive thought. And really, you know, sometimes I think the most powerful energy in the universe is a thought. Light, this light, travels at 186,000 miles a second. That's fast. But thought is instant. So I think of a friend in the UK now, they'll pick up my thought. And we're doing it all the time, just like people are sitting here, and people keep popping in your mind because you're picking up their thoughts in a way. And so positive thinking, we can learn positive thinking. Secondly, we can learn self-awareness, where we can meditate on who I am. And as I said, that unleashes a quality of peace. But thirdly, we teach Raja Yoga, which is really a very ancient method of meditation, where I become aware who I am, I'm a soul, and I link. Yoga means union, my mind with the Supreme Soul. And so it's almost like my mind, rather than my mind wandering all over the place, I focus on God as light. A soul like myself, but a divine soul, a pure soul. And when we meditate, we're not actually meditating on a philosophy, a concept, a belief. It's a real relationship. I'm connecting with a real soul. And there, therefore, in a sense, you know, because we all know that when you sit to meditate, your mind wanders a lot. Is that true? The mind wanders a lot. But where there's love, relationship, belonging, automatically there's natural focus and concentration. And we really see that this is the power of meditation that really transforms the individual. It transforms my self-respect, because I'm a great believer that the dysfunction we see in our world, the chaos we see in our world, is because the first relationship in life is so unhealthy. We don't like who we are. Deep down, most people have so much negative thinking about themselves. On the surface, we're confident. On the surface, we look good. On the surface, we're very clever. But inside, often, we feel uncomfortable. We dislike, we criticize. And I often feel that if I, you know, can't respect myself, will I respect other people? Will I respect society? Will I respect the environment? No. Who cares? And that's where I think that this relationship with God really heals the relationship with the self. And it gets my inner strength back to really maintain a positive and peaceful state of mind. So we offer, in a sense, three levels of meditation. And for those who want a very regular practice, in fact, we encourage people, I would say, if you don't mind me going on a couple of minutes, or you, you know, I sometimes think that the way meditation works these days, when it's a lifestyle, because when you put a little structure in your life to sustain yourself, sustain your mind, sustain your heart, you know, every day. Not only that we learn to think positively during the day, to give respect to people, to do good actions, because my actions influence my thinking. So it's a package to heal and grow the individual back to a healthy mental, emotional, and spiritual state of being. And I think, the centers are, yeah, they create a lovely atmosphere for people to do that.
That explains why every time when people like me walk into the center, you know, all the anxieties and agitations subsided, and there's only peace. You mentioned healthy relationships just now. Has that got to do with spirituality? There's a spiritual dimension of relationships, I suppose.
You know, I think one thing is to be spiritual internally, but how is spirituality, expressed? So when you meditate and you feel peaceful, you have a deep experience of love. Actually, it influences life. I can honestly say, every morning I meditate and I connect with the Supreme. That's at the heart of my life. And my observation of myself is that when I feel love from God, really loved in a real sense, my whole behavior changes towards other people. I think I'm a lot more gentle, merciful, compassionate, understanding, respectful. Because I'm a great believer that a lot of people think relationships is more about verbal communication. I think it's more about the communication through your mind and your face more. Because people feel comfortable when your vibrations, you know. If you all carry an aura, we all carry an aura. And you know, you almost immediately feel comfortable with somebody, or almost immediately maybe a little bit wary, because we pick up feelings and vibrations. And often some people wonder why people don't love me, people don't come close to me, people don't respect me, because I think what we hold in our mind, you know, our thoughts, if we hold the memory, you know, what you said to me last week, if I hold critical thoughts, judgmental thoughts, people feel those feelings. And that's why I think that spirituality, as I heal my relationship with myself, it automatically begins to heal my relationships with others. And one of the most beautiful things is that as you really begin not just to know and believe, but experience the reality that I'm a soul. The soul is a point of consciousness. It sits in the pituitary gland in the front of the brain. The souls live before the body, the soul lives after the body. When I actually know I'm a soul, I start to see other people as a soul. So rather than the judgment, as soon as I see somebody, how long does it take to judge somebody? Half a second, 0.1 of a second. You think, how quickly are we judgmental? But actually, you see beyond the conditions of a body. And when you talk to somebody as to who they really are, they feel touched. And my experience, when you see someone as a body, the human nature is to compare. You compare and you will position yourself unconsciously as a little bit better or a little bit worse, probably usually inferior or worse. But when you see the soul, it's really the vision of equality. And that's the feeling that we're a family, the world is a family. We're not nationalities and religions all based on difference. We're actually a world family.
Mm. That's lovely. In the past 20 years, more and more people came to me for all kinds of reasons. Many of them were suffering, and I had the privilege or misfortune to go deep into their life story. And to my surprise, I was shocked to discover that no less than one third of their problem is their relationship with one parent, usually the opposite sex. You know, a daughter with her dad, or a son with his mom. Mm-hmm. And then before long, I realized it's not one third, it's two thirds. More than half of the people had serious problems with one or both of their parents, and that's why they're so sick, and that's why they're so unhappy, deep into trouble. And then I was told that maybe it's more than two thirds. Yesterday, another world-class expert told us, if you want to be successful in life, he said, do one thing. Check your relationship with your mother. If you want success in business, well, improve. Even if she is already dead. Mm-hmm. It is your spiritual relationship with your mom that decides so many things in your life, including your relationships, your health, your career, and so on. I'm not sure if that's an exaggeration, but that is another revealing wisdom I managed to pick up recently.
It's really interesting you say that, because you were talking about translating for Daddy Jenki. Mm-hmm. And once I asked her, you know, from a spiritual perspective, what is mental health problems? Because the World Health Organization says one in four has mental health problems or suffers from depression. And actually, that's a highly conservative view. And she said the main reason for mental health problems is a lack of love in this life or a past life. And you know, you were talking about, I mean, that's really what parents are, aren't they? They parents create an environment to nurture and belong.
And security.
And yet we're at a time in history where we're watching the breakdown of the family for the first time in history. But I think that there's another dynamic working much deeper, and you could probably call it the philosophy of karma. That what the philosophy of karma really says is that as I, the soul, do actions through my body, I reap the fruit of my actions, and I have karmic relationships with people. Now, a lot of them are really good, but a lot of them have the other side of the element too. And often, you know, this goes quite deep into a spiritual perspective, but sometimes we are born into families where there is both beauty and settlement, like some karmic debt from the past. And why sometimes, I remember one mother telling me, she had three children. She said, two, it was just no problem, lovely. But one, she said, from the day the child was born, was difficult. She said, hard work. And, you know, she said, and that's sometimes because we carry these sort of stories out of the past that overlay and affect the present. And one of the reasons we follow a spiritual life is that we're trying to clear all these accounts, because, you know, on one level, if we have conflict with somebody, we say, oh, well, I'm having conflict. But a deeper level is there is some past story playing out. It's due to some past account that's overlaying and affecting, creating this conflict in the present. The more you meditate, it helps you resolve the stories of the past clear. It's almost like you're paying all your debts so that you can be free from all your past accounts.
Coming back to my clients having problems with their parents, resulting in failure in life. Well, so how am I going to tell them that, well, the number one thing you should do is to sit down and meditate, and that will improve somehow your relationship with your parents. Well, they will take it just like that. How am I going to explain to them? You know, there's a link.
You know, I often ask people, can you change someone? Can you change human another person? Does anyone think you can change another person? They're all shaking their heads. You can't. And the law of, I often think, the law of control says, ask the question, do I have control over my husband or wife? No. Do I have control over my children? No. Do I have control over my parents? No. Do I have control over anyone? No. What is my sphere of influence? Where do I have control? Where I have control is my thoughts, my feelings, my attitudes, my behavior. So if I want to change a relationship, that's where I have the power in actually and really, I have a friend, an old friend in Australia, and he was telling me that he had a major conflict with one of his closest friends, and they wouldn't speak. They didn't speak for years. And he didn't know how to resolve it, and his friend wouldn't even take his phone call. And when he started to meditate, he wanted to really resolve. You know how, I think it's natural, isn't it? We want to clear those feelings. So he really began to, on the one hand, he was saying to his friend, come on, let's resolve our problems, let's get on, let's clear the past. But when he was honest deeply, he said, deep down inside, he was thinking, I was right and you were wrong. And he realized when you hold on to that thought, you don't resolve the conflict. And he said when he really let go the thought that I was right, his friend immediately answered the phone. So it's almost like he cleared the account with the friend. And I think that, you know, it's possible to, I think today a lot of people, and if I can just say, there's a social researcher in Australia called Hugh Mackay, a very interesting man. He just goes all over the country talking to ordinary people. How are you feeling about life? And he calls this present era the age of anxiety. People are just so anxious. They can't sleep. They can't. And he said there's often people, they get married, they follow all the things they should do in life, they have kids, and they come to a brick wall at a point they feel so unhappy, so deeply unhappy with a lot of things in their life. And he said either they sort of start taking medication or they go on the inner journey. And he said this inner journey is now mainstream, where I realize that I am responsible for how I feel. I am responsible. And I think a lot of people have to go down to a low point to have the honesty just to say that it's not about other people, it's about me, actually. It's all about me. And when I change my attitudes, you can't change another, but often you can improve your relationships when you transform your own thinking and your own behavior in many ways.
Well, Charlie, one of the favorite spots on this planet for me is the Brahma Kumaris Retreat Center in the southern Philippines. I'm sure you're familiar with that place. Yeah, when you're going
on Monday,
okay. When you walk into the hall, there's a poster saying spirituality is about mind control. Well, I must say that the first time I read this more than 12 years ago, I was quite shocked. It's an instant enlightenment in some sense. What is your understanding of this mind control?
You know, I don't know whether control is the right word. I think it's using wisdom to take back the authority of your mind. And just the, like I was saying earlier, that sometimes I think of my mind like a sacred place. Its original state is so peaceful. But there's gateways into the mind, my ears. So I hear something, I hear a critical comment, I let it in my ears, and my mind just starts to think. I see something, my mind starts to think. In other words, that the world is controlling your mind. What people say, what people do, what happens is driving my mind. So when I go to sleep at night, I can't stop it. It's just going round and around and around. What are you doing when you meditate? You are taking back the authority of your mind because you are creating the thoughts you want. Rather than just the world telling you how to feel and think, you're now deciding, I am a peaceful soul, and you're creating thoughts, internal thoughts of peace and calm, and you're taking back with wisdom. So it's not a control by force, but with deep truth. It's almost like you're feeding your mind with truth, and that's when your mind comes back into a state of peace and a state of calm once again. And I'm amazed today how people are so educated. You know, they know so much about so many things, but internally we are so uneducated. We know nothing about our mind. We have no power. You know, I once met a scientist, a British scientist, who's a really eminent scientist. And you know what he said? He said, I'm an intellectual giant and a spiritual dwarf. That was his words. Because he said, you know, I'm very clever and I've created a great name for myself. But internally, he said, I'm a mess. I'm a complete mess. And I'm afraid that's very common today. You know, on the surface, we're great, we look good, we make money, we've achieved, but inside my world is chaotic and I'm deeply unhappy. And this is the paradox of the world today in which we're living.
Well, Charlie, can we finish with a little meditation you'll conduct us? Well, to make sure that we take in all the wisdom you offered in the past hour and we share the gratitude we have for this party together.
So firstly, I'd just like, before we meditate, say how lovely it is to see you, Simon. And I've only met Simon a few times, but I admire him so deeply because he's a person of great integrity. He has incredible integrity, you know, to do good, and he's always out there trying to establish a lot of goodness and truth in around him, and I really appreciate his humility and what he does for the general community. So thank you, Simon. It's really lovely to be here. And if I can suggest, if we can all just sit comfortably, and if possible, if you've got phones in hand, if we can hide them away, and handbags, and just, and if I can suggest that I'm going to speak a few thoughts, and if you want to follow those thoughts, and as your mind, it will wander, don't worry, just gently bring it back, not with the aim of just listening, but the aim of experiencing. So let us sit quietly. We have been talking about healthy, happy relationships. And we begin to realize that the foundation of a healthy, happy relationship is to have a healthy, happy relationship with myself. When I begin to meditate, I begin to reconnect with my true self. Just visualize yourself as a shining star, a tiny spark of life energy residing in the front of the brain, in the center of the forehead. This is I, the soul, the eternal self. I act through my body, but this is my temporary self. At some point, I'm going to leave this name and form with all its connections and experiences and move forward. So just feel yourself letting go the consciousness of your body and feel yourself sitting so lightly in the forehead. I, the soul, just become lighter and lighter. Feel the speed of your mind calming, cooling. Feel yourself so easy inside. I am a peaceful soul. I am a peaceful soul. The more I experience my true self, a beautiful fragrance of peace enters my inner world. I feel so easy, so relaxed, And in this state of self-awareness, I focus my mind towards the Supreme. I look through the eye of my mind and I see a radiant point of light. This is the highest among souls and a source of unlimited love. This union is the highest union of the mind. Just for a few moments in silence, like a little child, feel this divine love, this pure love, this love that has no motive, filling me, healing me, and giving me back my self-respect. Just for a minute, let's enjoy this atmosphere of silence. Thank you.
Om Shanti. Charlie, on behalf of everyone in the room and the community at large in Hong Kong, we thank you for coming all the way to bless us, every one of us. I'm sure that after this hour together, we are all more enlightened, more healthy, and much happier. Well, look at the smiles. look at what you've done. Well, come again as soon as possible, and we'll share our blessings with the world once more. We say goodbye to everyone around the world. Bye-bye. Thank you. And bye-bye from Hong Kong. Well, thank you for coming. I'm sorry we have another function in a few minutes' time. And we have our guests waiting. But come again for our desserts, for our lunch. And we are open Monday to Saturday for lunch. Thank you very much. Well, thanks for coming. I hope you enjoyed our show. And, well, you can see it again. It was broadcast live.